book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And it's especially these first two verses of this chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of strength, of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own counsels. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As we go to the Heidelberg Catechism on the Lord's Prayer, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord's Day 49. Question 124, which is the third petition of that prayer that Jesus teaches us? Answer, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as a kingdom of priests, we have the privilege and we have the calling to intercede the Lord. That is, we are given to prayer. So in that first petition, our desire is that God's name will be hallowed, set apart, that God will receive all the glory that is due unto his name. In the second petition, God's name is glorified, especially in the coming of his kingdom. God is king, known and acknowledged, loved and obeyed by willing subjects of the only sovereign. And that's only possible, of course, by a divinely wrought redemption and regeneration of sinners so that they, in the fellowship of the whole church, bow down before God. And the final revelation is not in this world, but only when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven. Then that perfect state will finally be realized. And now the third petition while we're walking here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So given to prayer, notice with me, the kingdom of priests, pray for that God's will be done. Notice in the first place that God is a willing being. Notice, second of all, we must know and do God's will. And thirdly, that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to the will of God. Boys and girls, young people, hopefully you remember some of your history lessons, namely when you were introduced to the Magna Carta. That was in the year 1215 AD. There was a list of regulations imposed upon King John of England by his barons. It restricted the power of the king. And what it did is it laid foundations for the constitutional monarchy in England that finally reached its full flower in the Revolution of 1688. And what is a constitutional monarchy? Ultimately, it is that form of monarchy in which the sovereign has to do the will of the people. That will of the people as it is expressed through their representatives. So the king then is merely a figurehead, has no power of their own. It's the will of the people, democracy, government by the people and for the people, so that Queen Elizabeth and now King Charles III are merely figureheads without any power. That kind of arrangement, of course, when it comes to God's spiritual kingdom, is unthinkable. Unthinkable. God can be no other than absolute monarch. And we recognize that in this third petition. God has not only a name to be hallowed, not only a kingdom that is going to be manifested, but a will that is to be accomplished. So we acknowledge God's sovereign right, not in the spirit of a crushed people underneath a tyrant, but God's sovereign right as those now who know the will of God, that it is good and acceptable and perfect, as we read in Romans 12, verse 2. God's will is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. In its broadest purposes, right down to its minutest applications. And nothing could be more happy for heaven or for earth in its fullest realization. Thy will be done. You see, God is a willing being. God is not some kind of impersonal power like the wind channeled by men. God is not some kind of blind force that we call fate, unpredictable, like the hurricanes this past week in Florida. God is not merely a figurehead like Queen Elizabeth or King Charles III or any part of that rotten, degraded family. God is an intelligent, he is a volitional personal being. That means God's mind and God's will. He's a willing being who is absolutely free in all that he does. While King John in England had a will, he could only do what was allowed by the rich barons. God, our King, is sovereignly free. Sovereignly free in all that he does, all that he wills to do, all that he will sovereignly perform. He's absolutely free. Not ever does anything involuntary. Not ever will there be any complications. Not ever will he be compulsed to do something. Never will he do anything against his will or contrary to his will. God is sovereignly free. We read in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Or again, the psalmist says in Psalm 115, verse 3, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. With us, it's quite different, isn't it? Our actions are both voluntary and involuntary. When I run, when I jump, when I sing, those are voluntary actions. But when breathing, or when hurt and I cry out, it's all involuntary, just take place. Often you and I have to do things that we'd rather not do, because we do them because necessity is upon us. Boys and girls, you know that, don't you? You do the dishes. You make your bed. Maybe you mow the lawn, not because you wanted to really do that, but because dad or mother says, do it. God's will is absolutely free. God's will is good. And because God is good, his will is perfect. Human beings can be evil. Human kings can be cruel, and their whole rule and their wills might be evil. And so that's why, as human beings, we're thankful for constitutions in our nations. But over against mankind, God, and God's will is righteous, it is true, it is holy, it is always good. And so now when we're speaking about God's will, we have to distinguish, don't we, between the will of God's decree and the will of God's commandment. You say, what are these creatures? The will of God's decree is God's eternal and sovereign thoughts and determinations concerning us and concerning all things. It is God's eternal plan concerning all things, because God has determined everything from eternity. And that determination now unfolds in time as he has planned it to do. He accomplishes all that he thought and he willed in eternity. And that eternal plan, much of it has been revealed unto us, hasn't it? In other words, we're not going to talk about a hidden or a secret work of God, but it's revealed. It's revealed in Scriptures. For example, predestination. It's revealed that God has willed the salvation of some, while God has passed over or has willed the reprobation of others. So the will of decree is God's eternal thoughts and plans that he carries out precisely throughout history. That's the will of his decree. And now there's also the will of his commandment. And the will of commandment is not contrary to his will of decree. His decree and his law cannot be in conflict. What God requires is in harmony with his very being. So his will of commandment determines what man must be, what man will do, what man must do as creatures. We are rational, moral creatures. And God lays before us his commandments. Do this. God has created us with a will of our own, hasn't he? As moral, rational creatures, we are capable of knowing what we read in Romans 12, verse 2, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're capable of knowing it. We're capable then of taking that which we know and say, yes, yes, I agree. Yes, I want to do that. Or sadly at times, no. No, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do it. God, a willing being. And now as God's children, sons and daughters, we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That brings me to my second point then. We have to know God's will, don't we? We have to know God's will. And that's the way God did create us, didn't he? He created us with that knowledge. But then came that dreadful fall of mankind. Disobedience. Rebellion against God's will. God said, the day thou eatest of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou wilt surely die. God says, do not. And Adam and Eve said, we will. We will. And all of us were represented there by Adam and Eve. And as the scriptures say, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, by nature, you and I and all human beings are rebels. The wicked always rebel against God's will. They reject God's rule and control. They refuse to see God's work in anything. The wicked act as if they were sovereign. They don't want God's will to be done on earth. They will not obey or honor God's laws. When God makes a law of marriage that it is one man and one woman for life, we live in a society that says, no, we'll determine what marriage will be. So that is men with men and women with women. God determines whether a little baby is going to be a boy or a girl. And our society of wickedness says we can always change our gender. And when God comes with laws of how we are to obey, the world refuses to recognize God's law as determinative. They make their own laws that often contradict God's laws. No, there is no free will. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they had a will that was under bondage, enslaved will, a will that says yes, chooses to do what is evil instead of what is right. That is human beings by nature. But sad to say, even the child of God sometimes does that. Even though you and I are regenerated, we have such a small beginning of obedience, don't we? So instead of listening only to God's voice, His will, His decrees, His commandments, we listen to our sinful nature. Sometimes it is hard for us to submit to God's will of decree, isn't it? Sometimes He has determined for us a grievous way, difficult. When He afflicts us with poverty, that poor widow had only a little bit meal and only a little oil left. Or He afflicts us with reproach. Luther was called a trumpeter of rebellion. Oh, how he was persecuted in his life, and that was God's will for him. He afflicts us at some times with a loss of a dear one. Think of Jacob, who lost his son Joseph, and then how he is tried when the Pharaoh's ruler in Egypt says Benjamin has to go down there also. Or look at a David as he's grieving before the Lord for his son born to Bathsheba, praying that if it be the Lord's will that he spare that son. But God didn't do that. Oh, it was like pulling a limb off his very body. Or when the Lord afflicts some of us with sicknesses or infirmities of our bodies. It's so easy to rebel, isn't it? It's easy for us to get angry. Why? Why has God done that? And we need patience then to submit to God's will. We need humility. We may not act like Job, as if God must give an answer to us for what He has done. No, sometimes it's very hard for us to submit to God's will of decree, nor are we always willing to obey His commandments, are we? That is, the world and its evils sometimes appeal to our sinful flesh. The world would relax some of God's strict commandments. For example, Sabbath observance or marriage for life. Some would like to charge me perhaps with legalism and say, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. No, it's nothing to do with legalism. It has everything to do with obedience. Obedience to God's will of command. We have to know God's will and do that will. We have to know that will before we can do it. For you see, beloved, that knowledge is the eye that will direct the foot of obedience, while ignorance is the mother of error. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. There are secret things that are held from us. What does tomorrow hold? When am I going to die? But there is also the revealed things, especially his will for salvation, all of God. Colossians 1, verse 9. We cease not to pray for you, Paul writes, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. God's will of decree, will of commandment. Do you notice how Romans 1, 12, verse 1 is followed by Romans 12, verse 2? I beseech you, therefore, Paul writes to the Roman church, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How? By not being conformed to this world, but by being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does God have all these things happening in my life? And the answer is the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God works all these things, his will of decree and his will of commandment, for our good. What does God demand? The good will of God is that we do that which is good and flee from what is evil. What is the acceptable will of God? It's that we should be chaste and pure in our lives. What is the perfect will of God? It is that we should desire to please him in all things. And it is faith. It is faith that transforms our minds and leads us so that we may prove the will of God. We may take that will of God as we find it in the Scriptures, as it's revealed to us, and decide upon it. We may be asserted that it is right, it is good. And it means then that we make our will to conform to his will. Not what do I want, but what does God want of me? Because as God's children, we need to know, we need to delight in, and we need to practice what is good and acceptable to God. God's word is that lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. God makes it known. So we submit to God's will of decree. We say, it's good. I don't understand all things of it, but it is good. And we do. We do the will of his commandment. In whatever station or calling God has put us, boys and girls, young people as students right now in school, the wife in the home, those in the workplace, how beautifully the Apostle Paul puts it later on in this chapter. We are humble. We obey not merely because we have to, but we obey because we want to be pleasing to God. Perhaps you don't like your calling. I know. I was a student once, boys and girls. After the 3 years of high school, then you look at 4 years of college, and then another 4 years of seminary. But God called me to it, and I couldn't run away from it. So, boys and girls, when you go to school again tomorrow, that is God's will for your life right now, and you are called then to submit to that, to do the best of your ability as students. Thy will be done. It means that we submit and obey God's commandments. As I said, knowledge is a prerequisite, isn't it? But knowledge of God's will is not enough without doing it. God forbid that we are those who hear but fail to do. Bare knowledge of God's will is not effective. It does not better our hearts. Knowing without doing God's will makes our case even worse. It makes hell even hotter. We read in Luke 12, verse 47, "That servant which knew the Lord's will and did not shall be beaten with many stripes." Many a person's knowledge is a torch to light them to hell. You and I who know, have a knowledge of God's will and do not do it, how are you and I then better than a hypocrite? How do you excel the devil who transformed himself into an angel of light? You see, beloved, there are many who want to call themselves Christians, but then walk in their own sinful way. And the scripture says, by their fruit, you will know them. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You tell your children what is in your mind. It's not only so that they may know what's on your mind, but that they do it. Well, so also our Heavenly Father lets us know what is His will so that we may do it here on earth as He calls us. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16, Moses, in his farewell address to the Israelites, the Old Testament church, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them." Oh, beloved, we cannot be just merely hearers of the word, but we must be doers of the word. Listen again to God's word, Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You say, why is that my reasonable service? Because of your gratitude for what God has done for you. He is good. May we know that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of our God and do it. May we know what God's will is, young people, when we date, what the parameters of our dating is, who we date, what you do on your dates to keep yourself as virgins until there is marriage. To know what God's will is for you, housewives in the home, that it is one of the most blessed callings around. Caring for your husband and for your children. Loving God in your service in the home for them. And you who work in the workplace, may you know what God's will is for you, that you are not just merely men pleasers, but you do your business in such a way that you bring honor to God, that the wicked will have to marvel and say, yes, yes, he conducts his business as a child of God in obedience to God. In our family relationships, whether you're single, whether you are husbands and wives, whether you are parents of children and children who have godly parents, the way you behave as brothers and sisters in the home, that you may know God's will for you, how you are to behave, and then you do it. Is my speech, is your speech, according to his word, that is, words seasoned with grace, the way we dress ourselves, is it according to his will? That is it a modest apparel? Rather than showing a lot of flesh and enticing the opposite sex, modest. Let us be doers of God's will. Beg God for his grace and his strength to do his will. Look forward. Look forward to that new heavens and that new earth when you will do only that which is right and good and pleasing in God's sight. That is the petition. May thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Let's lift our eyes a moment to heaven. Who's there? Is not our elder brother Jesus Christ there in heaven? And is not the obedience of Jesus Christ the pattern for us to follow as God's adopted children? When Jesus came into the world to do his Father's will, as it's written in Psalm 40, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, this is Jesus Christ, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And look at your elder brother Jesus Christ there that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he faced the last test of obedience as the shadow of the cross lay upon him. He cried out, Luke 22, verse 42, but not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, yes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ became obedient unto death. Yes, the death of the cross. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. David speaks of the glad acceptance of those in heaven of God's will. Listen to him in the psalm. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. So when we say this petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, teach me. Teach me to do thy will as the angels do. To do thy will regularly without murmuring, without wavering. To do thy will entirely. Not picking and choosing which of the commandments we want to obey, but all of them. Teach us to do thy will, Father, as the angels, delighting in it, counting it an honor to do so. Willingly, without complaint, Teach me, O Lord, to do thy will sincerely without pretense. Our eyes on his commandment, our eyes on his glory, to do his will fervently without slackness. Teach us to do thy will, Father, on earth as it is in heaven, giving unto the Lord the best service that we can, readily and swiftly obeying him, constantly obeying him day and night, on earth as it is in heaven. We read in Mark 3, verses 34 and 35, Jesus, and he looked round about him which sat about him, and he said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Are you, am I, those who are doing the will of our Father and therefore brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus? Philippians 2, verse 13 and following. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold forth the word of life. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And this is the benediction I'm hoping to give later on this morning. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you see, beloved, from all those texts, that you and I of ourselves don't have that strength or even that will? We have to go to our elder brother, don't we? We go to our elder brother, Jesus Christ. It was his obedience that is now imputed to us that makes us righteous in God's sight. And our obedience is now our response of gratitude for what he has done to us. Brothers and sisters of Christ, God working in us by his word and by his spirit. Jesus' obedience imputed to us. Oh, beloved, that's our comfort. And our works, our obedience, is merely now gratitude flowing to him for what he has done for us and what he is doing in us. To God be the glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that thy will may be in our hearts, in our minds, so that then by thy word and spirit, thou wilt enable us to submit to thy will and to do thy will in every relationship for thy glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.